We're getting close to these inyanim in the Gemara, but I just when visiting day comes around, I feel like maybe I should have spoken about it last night. But last night already was Motzei Shabbos. Hard to do these things. But just to discuss a little bit about the Yisod. Remember this morning I asked the question: how do we have a raya? How do we have a raya from our Gemara on Daf Lamed that your parents are still allowed to publicly declare their parenthood of you, even if that humiliates you? So what was the raya? What was the raya from the Gemara? What? You're not going to rebel, right? To what age? Right. So there's different shitas. Right. The Gemara over there said you got to marry off your son Kolzman, that you're still, you're bar takif over him, that you're you have control over his actions, right? So that actually is paskin halacha lemaisa in Seif Yud Tes. It says in Seif Yud Tes and Seif Chof. Right, it says, "Asur la'adam lahachpid olo al banav uledakdek bechvodo imahem shelo yivim lidei michshol." Right, it's asur for a father or a mother, for that matter, to make the ability to be mechabed them too difficult. They can't make the job too difficult, because that's a violation of lifnei iver shelo yivim lidei michshol. Rather, a parent should be mochel, and he should turn his eyes aside. He should turn away his gaze from the times when the son is not following the way he should be. Because a father has the right to be mochel on his kavod. And then in Sif Chaf, the Mechaber continues, Hamake livno gadol minadin oso. Sharei over al v'lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. So the extreme version of what we see in Seif Yud Tes is in Siman Reish Mem. I don't know if I mentioned. Yoreh Deah Siman Reish Mem. Tzikilchus Kibud Avim. So we see in what the continuation is that if the father hits his older son, he's in violation of lifnei iver, because this is going to be a big turnoff to the son. It's going to cause him maybe to try to hit back. And when the son tries to hit back, he's obviously going to be chayav misa. And thus, you, the father, could have been a little bit more makel with your discipline. You could have taken a little easier on him and wouldn't have driven him to rebel. Right? So says the Ramah, v'lo mikre gadol l'dover zeh, rak l'achar chav beis shana o chav dalet shana. So the Ramah is basing himself on our Gemara. And the Ramah says he's not considered a gadol for this thing. Obviously, he's a gadol at 13. But for this halacha, he's a gadol 22, 24. Now, keep in mind something else. The Ramah is l'shitaso, where he said what? The Ramah is saying that you're supposed to get married off at what age? Right, based on our Gemara. What does our Gemara hold? L'chadchila. 20, 18, 20, all right, you want to get married a little later, push it off, 2-3 years, whatever. But 22, 24, we're talking about a married man. And he might have been a married man for a number of years. So the Ramah is saying, what's a gadol that you shouldn't dare hit your son because it's lifnei iver? That's when he's already a man with his own family. I'm not talking about a guy who just turned 13, 14 years old and he thinks he's a big, big tough guy. We're talking about an actual adult. So it's very important to keep this in mind, that obviously on one end, the parents have their responsibility to try to lighten the burden a little bit on their children. But on the other hand, it's not for us to be mochel on our parents' covered for them and to think that we already know so much, we've done so well for ourselves, and we're all so well accomplished in our many years that we know so well. It's not even considered that you have the right. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't recognize that you have the right to get upset about being overly disciplined by your parents till you're already a married man, perhaps with children. So this is an important thing to keep in mind. The Shulchan Aruch is not saying that when you have a guy who reaches adolescence, so then the parents have to lay off and take it easy on him and not try to raise him anymore. We're talking about a person who's an adult. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because I mentioned this already a couple of days ago. Said when you want to know what the most important thing is, sometimes you have to work through a little bit of reverse psychology. How do we know Kibud Av Aim is so important? The pasuk. There's a pasuk for every mitzvah. How do we know Kibud Av Aim is such an important mitzvah?
States the reward.
So that also lightens the burden a little bit on the individual, because Beis Din is not kofa on Kibud Av Aim, right? Because the Gemara says that if it's a mitzvah saseh, shemat n'schara ksuv b'tzido, so Beis Din doesn't force you to do it, since you already know what the reward is. If you choose not to do it, you don't need Beis Din to beat you up to convince you to do it, right? But we know intuitively how important Kibud Av Aim is. Why? It's in the Aseres HaDibros, that's true. But more than that, we know intuitively what's important. Because sometimes, you know, one of my Rebbeim once gave this mashal, which I turned it into the Stratego mashal, right? So he said, sometimes he said, when you play Stratego, how do you know where the flag is? What? How do you know where the flag is? When you start hitting the bombs, you know you're near the flag. Saying, that's where does he put random bombs in the... And where he doesn't need them, and the flag is just exposed in the front row? No, when you start hitting the bombs, you know you're getting close to the flag. That's how you know you're in an important area. So what if you ask anyone, one of the hardest things in the world to do is to be mechabed your parents. It's so difficult, right? And even the Tanoim and the Amoraim, we'll see the Gemaras and Kiddushin say the Tanoim, you didn't even come close to the beginnings of the mitzvah Kibud Av Aim. Is so much more to do with such, and it's such a Yetzer Hara, right? Somebody else says to you, how was your day? Say, oh, nice person. He wants to know how my day was. You come home from yeshiva, mom there says to you, how was your day? Well, back off! Calm down! Stop prying into my life! You know, okay. Oh, by the way, when's dinner? It better be good. You know? It's just, we don't know why it is, but the Yetzer Hara for not being mechabed our parents is so strong. It's so difficult for us. You know, we're our parents' harshest critics. You know, every little thing that our parents do, we're melamed chov on. And every little thing that we do, we're melamed zchus on. It's an amazing phenomenon. I once told my guys, before you give your parents such a hard time, ask yourself the following question. Do your parents have friends? Parents have friends? Usually the answer is yes. Right? Now ask yourself the following question. If they were the people that in your mind you make them out to be, would they have any friends? Saying, if the rest of the world judged them as harshly as you judge them, would they be deserving of anyone actually liking them? He says, you have to cut your parents a little bit of slack. So why is it so difficult? Besides the spiritual idea that the Yetzer Hara is protecting us from. Well, why, psychologically for us, why is it so difficult to be mechabed our parents? I think the answer is that Kibud Av Aim is the ultimate example of what? What midah that we need to have? It's the ultimate example of Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov is a very hard midah. Why is Hakaras HaTov a hard midah? Because it hits at the core of our gaiva. If I have to be makir tov to you, it means that I need you, that I'm not self-sustaining and self-sufficient. So, okay, let's say you did me a big favor one time. I had to schlep a very heavy package, and it's understood that this is not a one-man job. So I called you up, you got out of bed in the middle of the night, and you came to my aid, and you helped me schlep the package into my house. I'm going to have a lot of akaras hatov for that. Why? Because it's easy to have akaras hatov for that. Because nobody could have schlepped that package by themselves. I wasn't expected to do it by myself. So it's easy for me to say, thank you. Every time I see you, I'll thank you again. Wow, this guy, he went out of his way to help me when I needed help. Because I don't mind admitting that I need help in areas that I know everyone needs help. But what if somebody really, like I was in, I was in Shana Aleph in Yeshiva, and I pashut didn't know Aleph Beis. I was supposed to have known Aleph Beis. I went through 12 years of Yeshiva education. I didn't even know Aleph Beis. And this fellow, this Chavrusa, taught me Aleph Beis. And I'm tremendously makir tov to him. The problem is, he himself is not a very great scholar. He himself barely, he knew the Aleph Beis plus one, and I didn't even know Aleph Beis. So he taught me Aleph Beis. So if I'm going to be makir tov to this guy, and I'm going to go around telling everybody how much this guy did for me, I'm also going to be shouting from the rooftops, what an Am Haaretz I am. It's not so easy all of a sudden. If I say this Am Haaretz is my Rebbe, so then all of a sudden, I don't look so good. It's understood that I'm on such a low level that I needed this fellow to be my Rebbe. So it looks bad for me. So I'm not going to be so quick to be publicly makir tov to this individual. And even not publicly, but within my own self, it's going to be difficult for me to admit that I really needed this guy. Now, if you think about it, every single time we look to our parents, every single time we realize what our parents have done for us, so we know there's shlosha shutfin ba'adam, right? There's three partners that go into making a human being. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, so that's easy enough to be makir tov to Ribbono Shel Olam, although it's very hard conceptually because you don't see him, but like, it's easy for us to admit, I need God. Of course I need God. Everyone needs God. There's not the greatest person, from the greatest individual who ever lived to the simplest, unicellular organism in the world, everyone needs their Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't do anything without him. So it's not really, it doesn't hit at the core of my gaiva to say, I need their Ribbono Shel Olam. I can't do anything without him. But these two, I needed them. I can't do anything without them. Every time you look at your parents, you realize you wouldn't be born. You wouldn't have had food. You wouldn't have lived. There's nothing about you that would be anything if not for them. And no matter whether you like their decisions, you don't like their decisions, you like everything they did, they don't like it, it doesn't really matter. Because they made you who you are in many, many more ways than you're willing to admit. And that hits at the core of a person's gaiva. And we have to realize that. And we have to say to ourselves, let me ask you something. If I would have been abandoned as a baby on the doorstep of some person and I had nobody to take care of me, and someone, out of the goodness of their heart, took me into their homes, and they gave me food and clothing and love and everything. Were they the best people in the world to raise somebody? They were average at best. Did they do a great job? But they took me in. They saved my life over and over again. There's no one in the world who would say, you don't owe them everything. So why is it worse when those same people are your own parents? They did the exact same thing for you. Except they one-upped it, they actually had you as a child, and they decided to keep you. They didn't abandon you somewhere. But because it's so hard for us to admit that we need them in every way, shape, or form, that we would be nothing without them, it becomes this tremendously difficult mitzvah for us to do, to be mechabed them properly. And every little thing they do bothers us because we realize that anything that they say that we don't agree with, that means that, like, I come from that. So if I find something that my mother does that's a little bit annoying, so saying like, ah, that can't be because that source, that's what I am, is annoying and I can't deal with that and I have to quickly divorce myself from that right away and I have to quickly show that that's not me. And that makes it very, very hard for us. But the key is we have to constantly refocus on this yesod. We have to refocus on this idea that what they did for us and what they constantly do for us, even Ad Hayom Hazeh, is everything. They made us. They brought us into this world. They were shutfin with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I think last year I gave a mashal. I said if there was a speaker at a convention, a business convention, the speaker's name was John Smith. Right? Oh, John Smith is speaking at the convention. Who cares? Who's John Smith? The answer is, no, see, when Warren Buffett was starting in business, so this guy was his first ever partner. He was his first ever business partner. So like, okay, but still, Warren Buffett, if Warren Buffett was speaking, that would be one thing. True. But now he's only John Smith. Buffett became, you know, some multi-billionaire, and John Smith only became a multi-millionaire. Neville. So John Smith is speaking at the convention. I think you'd still get a pretty solid attendance at the convention, if only because this guy was partners with one of the most famous businessmen in the world. Right? So is it any worse to deal with a shutuf of the Rabbanu Shalom? Shlosha shutfin ba'adam. There are three partners. There's a mother, a father, and a Kaddish Baruch himself. So your parents are shutfin with the Rabbanu Shalom in this one aspect. And they're not just shutfin in the Rabbanu Shalom in the fact that you were born into this world biologically. The same way the Rabbanu Shalom, we say, I'm a chadish b'tuvah v'chol yom tamid ma'asev reishis. Kaddish Baruch Hu constantly reinvigorates and recreates the world on a regular basis, every single day. So too our parents constantly do for us every single day. Sometimes guys, they go away from home, wherever they may be, they're in yeshiva, they're in college, where, you know, they're on their own. And they think, look how much better I'm doing because I'm on my own and I'm not being held back by my you know, humble beginnings, not being held back by my origins. So A, they don't realize who's paying the bills. They don't realize that they wouldn't be there, just practically, if the parents weren't paying the bills. But B, they don't realize that the only reason they're able to have these thoughts, the only reason they're able to make these cheshbonos is because they were given the tools to do so. And they were given what was necessary. You can see, if you look in the studies of children who were neglected by their parents, forget about children who were abused. Children who are abused do a lot better than children who are neglected. Children who are neglected basically are children who don't have parents. I'm not talking about orphans. They have physical parents, but the parents don't raise them. Children who weren't raised just do so poorly. They lack such basic emotions even. They don't have the ability to sympathize or empathize. They don't have the ability to control certain emotions. They can't act in any kind of a social setting. Functioning is basically impossible for them. So if you find yourself to be a functional human being, it's because someone took care of you. It's because somebody raised you. The reason you're able to formulate the thoughts about how much better you are than your parents is dafka because they raised you. It's because they took care of you. It's because they put their kochos into you. I was just thinking about it the other day. You know, nobody ever talks like this. Nobody ever talks like this, but sometimes when you hear a teacher or somebody else would compliment a child to a parent, you never really hear the parent respond in an affirmative way. Sometimes you hear the parent will try to push aside the credit and will say, you know, oh, your son is he's doing beautifully, he has such wonderful midos. You say, yeah, you know, we had him, we don't really know where he came from, we just figured we'll try not to break him. You know, something like that. I said, so, but a lot of times the correct response, and again, you're not going to hear this from most parents, but it doesn't make it any less true. The correct response, you say, your child has wonderful midos. And the answer is a lot of time and energy and effort and a lot of parenting and a lot of tefillah went into that. It didn't happen by itself. Again, you're not going to hear this from anybody. And I was thinking about it the other day, just because my kids are still little. You know, I was just wondering to myself, at what point, and it happens to everybody, so I don't, you know, I'm not deluding myself into thinking it's not going to happen to me either. At what point are my own kids going to start saying to me, like, Nebuch, if I had only been raised by a half-decent father, I might even be better than the awesome guy that I am right now. You know? So it happens to everybody because, again, this is the Yetzer Hara that we're faced with. We're faced with this terrible desire to, this tremendous gaiva to say to ourselves, Kochi v'otzem yadi aso li esachay el hazeh, that my strength, everything that I put into my own hard work of making myself the person that I am, and, you know, I did it despite my bumbling parents trying to hold me back in some way, shape, or form, or, you know, just look how far I've gone, look how much I've surpassed them. in reality, as you grow, as you, you know, as you get older, you realize, A, how much you are exactly like them, and B, where you would have been without them. And it's really something we have to constantly drive into our systems. We have to constantly tell ourselves, even if we end up not agreeing with them sometimes, you know, and just one last halacha, you know, we know the Torah tells us, and the Gemara, you know, the Gemara paskins this way in Yevamos, ish imo va'aviv tiro veshab sosai tishmoru, that if a parent would tell you to violate the Torah, so you're not allowed to listen to him, but nevertheless, we're also supposed to keep in mind that if the Gemara also tells us that if you see your parent violating the Torah, you're not supposed to say to him, hey, you're not allowed to do that, that's usur. You're not allowed to follow. You know, you're doing the wrong halacha. You're following the halacha incorrectly. You're supposed to say, "Didn't you teach me that the halacha is in such a way?" So, what do you mean? Obviously, he didn't teach it to you, because if he would have taught it to you, he wouldn't be violating it. So, what's the pshat? You're supposed to lie, you know? And if you are lying, if the father, let's say your father, he's an Amar Tzaraisa, he doesn't know anything, and he's violating the halacha just because he doesn't know anybody. So you say, "Dad, didn't you teach me in Shulchan Aruch that you know you're not supposed to do that?" And your dad doesn't even know how to hold the Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't know which way. So he's not going to think that you're patronizing him. He's not going to think that you're basically making fun of him even further, saying, "Oh yeah, I taught it to you." But the answer is, you're telling the father, "No. It's true, I happen to know this halacha and you don't know the halacha. But I don't think that for a second that any halacha that I know isn't because of you. It's because of the way you had me, you raised me, you sent me to certain institutions, you paid for them, and you encouraged me to excel in those institutions. So yes, of course it's because of you. So Dad, I'm just trying to reciprocate. I'm just trying to pay you back a little bit of what you did for me by telling you this is a little bit of what I gleaned from what you gave me." That's the idea of saying, "Didn't you teach me the halacha of that?" Of course, your dad didn't teach you the halacha that way, but still, I'm going to try to tell you off, quote unquote, but as I'm telling you off, I'm reminding you and I'm reminding myself that everything I know comes from you. And in the moment of my feeling superior, I should recognize that although this is an opportunity for me to excel in the area of gaiva, I have to hold myself back and I have to realize that the hakaras hatov that we have to have for our parents supersedes any gaiva that I might have for myself, and to realize that we owe everything to them. I mean, just some thoughts to have at the end of the day. Stay like stuff.